Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the Weekly Dish. It is a beautiful Saturday.
It is lovely outside. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of just sort of, I want to say moist and just say that it's it's humid.
You want to start it off with moist. Love it. Are you getting Super Bowl fever?
Oh, my God. I've had Super Bowl fever for 2 years. I just want you all to know that.
Okay. Can we just, are you really a fan? Like, okay. do you watch all the games?
No.
Would you say you're a fair weather purple people eater?
I am 100% jumping on this bandwagon.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
Yep. I am in for the win, but I haven't watched all year. I honestly just haven't. I haven't had time. I know that sounds horrible, but it just hasn't been on my docket. But I've been supporting the team the whole time. I cheer them on. I'm hoping for it. And, you know, I'm excited. And, of course, you know, the idea that there's a potential home game, home turf for the Super Bowl is sort of amazing.
Yeah. And it's, okay, first of all, my favorite thing that happened this week is the Prince meme.
Oh,
where he's pushing the guy out of the way so that Diggs can catch the ball.
Yep.
I love that we have ascribed him like ghost angel status over our entire state.
Yes, he
can make things happen. Yeah.
He's our guardian angel. He is protective.
Love that.
Yes.
But I also, you know, I'm like the Vikings. When the Vikings are playing, I'm making food.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's on in the background. You know, my husband's down there cheering and whooping it up, and I'm usually making dinner or a pot of chili or batch cooking for the week. And so it is kind of in the background. So I'd say, like, from that standpoint, I'm not a total ignoramus about what's happening, but
I mean, I don't know who the teams, I don't know many of the players.
Me neither.
On the team. Like, if they were standing in front of me, I'd be like, you look like a football player, and that would be about all I could give.
Did you watch the game last Sunday?
Yeah. Yep. I was in.
It was
good.
It really was. And super fun.
Yeah.
And just like, wow, could this really be happening? I right away, I thought of our friend Brian Oak, who's at a different radio station, but he's such a diehard fan.
Is he really?
Yes.
I didn't realize he was.
And he just gets like, if they lose, I mean, he's depressed the whole next day and you can hear it in his voice.
Oh.
So I just was like, oh, he's got to be so happy. I also thought of Casey Barghini, Lori's husband, from Lori and Julia, who does not let her watch the games with him. It's just too much because she comments or talks and he's just like, nope, you've got to get out.
Stop.
This is my moment. Yeah. I'm in the man cave.
Yeah, I haven't raised football children. And even though I had two football players for a while, you know, Matt did the footballing for a little teeny tiny bit when he was a kid. Jake did football for a couple years. I just haven't really enjoyed football parents, if I say that nicely.
Oh, I hate sports parents.
Well, but
I've loved
soccer parents. I've loved, you know, I've had such a great time with even baseball parents. I've had great times with.
Now I'm feeling bad because my downhill ski parents I do like.
You
but
do,
I didn't like the soccer parents.
Right. It just, and that's the thing is it really is sort of
I hate
a
parents.
Okay.
I do like
you're a
just
parent.
The club of parents
well,
that I've never been strong in.
Right. But, you know, but so football sort of soured for me because that had been my only real exposure to it as like a parent on the sideline. And I used to watch it when I was in college and I used to watch it in my 20s, you know, and I was a Vikings fan. I just fell out of it, I guess. And so and then, you know, there's the thing about the Vikings. You sort of always say, well, you know, they're probably not going to win or we're going to get there and then it's going to be a heartbreak. The heartbreak is real about the Vikings. And if you haven't, you know, if you've moved here or you haven't lived here your whole life, I don't know if you really fully understand that. But maybe you do now because of the reaction to the Minneapolis Miracle was something.
It was something.
It was amazing. I was screaming and Jake came running up and said, what's going on? What happened? What's going on? And I was like, I can't even. I don't know how to tell you. It was nuts.
Work downtown. I work downtown. There's also a real like fever about things coalescing. Like things are happening downtown.
Yes.
And if you're not driving through, the Birkebeiner Bridge is being installed. PV Plaza is getting all decorated.
We're going to talk about all the food that you can have.
I'm so glad.
At the Super Bowl Live. So we'll talk about that in a little bit next hour.
I'm so glad.
During this hour.
We're also going to talk about, in this hour, sous vide and air frying.
Mm-hmm.
I have a funny conversation that happened with Miss Marley Bigelow, so I'll tell you about that.
Oh, interesting.
Can you, you went to a couple of dining experiences this week that I didn't get to that looked so good. Can you tell us about them?
Okay, so the first place I went to was a preview party for the Fig and Pharaoh, which is, you know, the vegetarian, I'm not saying vegan, it's vegetarian, but very non-meat whatsoever, vegan-friendly restaurant in the former Filio space in Calhoun Square. And I say former Filio space, even though it's been a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's how we all really remember it. Most of us of a certain age. but it's, you know, it was Prime Bar. After Filio, it turned into Il Gatto. And then it was Prime Bar. And then, of course, lastly, Perella, you know, which I had ties to. And so it was very strange to walk into that space and see it so different feeling. I almost can't even remember how the Filio used to be, but they've warmed it up. They've put carpets on the floor and they've painted the walls a little bit, you know, a rich sort of teal, smoky blue tone. And in the back, it's warmly white. So what they're doing is they want this to be a very, they kept calling it the anti-restaurant. And this is the
I don't think I know what that means.
Well, that's exactly the point. And this is the interesting thing for me is that I understand that, you know, there's disruption in everything. You know, we're going to disrupt the food delivery business. We're going to disrupt the car, the taxi business. And all these things are disruptive. And then they are wildly successful. And maybe there's a way to do this. I just don't, I'm excited to watch it. I'm hoping for the best. I'm not sure it's all going to work. They don't have a chef. They don't have a leader. They have a collective. And so it's a lot of, there's no person running the kitchen. There's people running the kitchen. Okay. And there's people who are both front and back working all positions, which we've seen work like a travail per se. But these are, it's a different caliber. And there's definitely girls who I would say would be servers. And then I don't know how they're going to go back and run the line and those guys on the line, how they're going to come forth and work the room. But if it works, it's great, you know? And there's a lot of, but you know, as far as all that goes, you as the diner probably won't feel that. So that doesn't, I don't know if that matters, you know, to the general public. But they are paying $15 an hour and they are tip sharing, their tip pooling, which, you know, has always been a sticky situation. So we'll see how that goes legally, not because of anything other than, you know, Surly just won a huge case in the courts about the servers won the case because they said it's illegal to tip pool. And the courts came down on the server side because it's true. So we'll see how this shakes out. Maybe
this is the second case that has said it's illegal to tip pool because Starbucks was also.
Yeah, it's actually illegal to tip pool in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they've found a way in. Maybe there's a loophole. Maybe there's by categorizing people as a different contractor status. I'm not sure, but we'll see. You know, we'll give them a shot.
So the food, I saw like one plate and I probably saw it from you. Was it like a Otto Ulligany type? Plenty sort of presentation.
I don't know what that means in your mind.
Well, the cookbooks.
I'm like an Otto Ulligany. I'm like, what does that mean? Otto Ulligany. I thought it was like an autoimmune protocol. That there was something that I wasn't understanding. Okay. So I think there's a lot of, it's definitely all vegetarian. There was a woman sitting next to me who was vegan and she was, so every time they set a dish down, they kind of said to us, this is vegan. This is not vegan. They made a point of saying that because they knew she was at the table with me. You know, it was varied. There was like a shakshuka, you know, with eggs, sort of baked in spinach and spices and lentils and stuff. And that was wonderful. Everything I ate was, you know, was very interesting and a lot of it was delicious. Some of it I didn't find to be delicious. But again, this was a media preview. I don't judge food on those days.
I can't wait to try it.
Yeah, there's hummus. There's, you know, there's a lot of chickpeas and things. There's potatoes. There was a white sweet potato gratin that was lovely. And there was, you know, there was this bread that you're doing called pan, which was pita and naan mix. That was a little harder for me, but I don't know if that execution has been worked out perfectly yet. I will say this, when you go to these vegetarian and vegan type places, there's two things on your mind. One, is it all going to taste like just the same? And two, am I going to get full? And one is, I would say that the flavors were varied and I was interested by that. I thought there was a lot of brightness and a lot of acidity where it could be kind of dull. And so I was excited by that. The other side of it was, I didn't get full, but I didn't eat. I mean, I basically
snacked.
I stopped in for the first little bit and then I had to go to a dinner. So I wasn't even, but I will say that if there had been a big shakshuka and I ate that, two eggs and a whole bunch of stuff, I would have been fine.
Yeah.
I eat that at home, you know, a lot. So that's exciting.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, I don't know about that neighborhood. I don't know how, I mean, people are going to have to drive there because it's not a dude bro bar. They don't have Red Bull on the bar. So that's the neighborhood. That's how the neighborhood has been trending. Uptown has just been going that way. But I'm interested to see if they can pull people in and people will go, they're going to be great.
All right. You also dined with Jeremiah Tower, which we'll get to later on in the show because I want to hear a little bit about that. We are the Weekly Dish. We are presented to you by our friends at Red Cow and Red Rabbit. If you happen to visit them in the next couple of weeks, let them know that you heard about them on the Weekly Dish. That really helps them understand that their investment is helping grow their business. And in turn, we are helping the restaurant community by lifting up a family locally owned business. So that's very helpful. We are going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Weekly Dish presented by our friends at Red Cow and Red Rabbit on Washington. And Red Cow has four locations. They're growing, including the former Green Mill on Hennepin, which I'm not going to call it that anymore, but I always still do. Stephanie, I had a funny conversation with Marley. And for those of you that listen to the weekday shows, Marley was on with Donna from 9 to noon and has just stepped back, still working at Hubbard, but more of in a podcast role. So her and I were meeting and talking about some podcast stuff. And she said to me, hey, you know, what should I do with the sous vide that I got? I'm really excited to cook in the sous vide. And I was so, I looked at her just like, well, what do you mean? What are you going to do with it? And why do you have that? And I was kind of dismissive of her because she's not a big cook.
She's not. She just isn't. That's, no. Dismissive is not offensive in this case.
I was like, just like looking at her like it was like saying, where should I land my spaceship? Kind of is how it felt in the context of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, a sous vide? What are you talking about? She was like, yeah, everybody in my family got one. We're really excited about it. It's this new thing. She's like, you know how you guys are into the Instant Pot? Like everybody else is into the sous vide. And I was kind of just rolling my eyes like, okay, if this is a trend, I'd probably know about it, but I don't know. So I go and I'm Facebooking and I'm looking around. I'm like, sure enough, someone has developed a sous vide that is...
Well, it's an immersion circulator.
Yes. And it's more for the home cook style. It's a $200 gadget.
Can I tell you that I think that they have learned from the Instant Pot and they are, that is because that sucker has been around for a long time.
Well, and then my friend Miles got it.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago and we'd sous vide steaks at his farm. And
yeah, it's been around.
So I just thought, you know, there's people out there that are gadgety, like our listeners who like the Instant Pot. And if you have got an Instant Pot and you haven't joined the Weekly Dish Instant Potters, which is our Facebook group, you really should. It's just going to help you to enjoy your Instant Pot so much more. It's going to help you understand the buttons.
It's just a resource. You have to think about it as a resource. And it's kind of one of those things, places where you can post your wins, your fails, your questions. You know, it's a community. And I will tell you, we're like 2,500 people are there listening.
And people, I just met someone this week that told me that they finally used their Instant Pot and they're so glad and they're really getting used to it. And I will say, if you got an Instant Pot and you just feel like you're staring at it in the corner and it's gathering dust like Laurie Barghini, take it to Arcs Value Village.
Yeah.
Take it to the one in Richfield. They will notify me that you've brought an Instant Pot and there's one in the store.
Yep.
Because they're like, you know what? One person's trash is another man's treasure. And we just pass it along all in the good work that we do for people that have developmental disabilities. So at least you're doing a good thing.
Yeah, I do love, and just quickly, John Bradley, one of my friends, posted this morning about pot in pot, the secret to pot in pot cooking with, you know, the idea of putting things inside your Instant Pot.
Yes, your ceramic ramekins.
I have not even creased that, you know, area.
You can put a spring form cheesecake pan right on the trivet there and cook a cheesecake in there and it looks pretty good.
That's what a lot of people do. That's why that would be your, in my mind, that is the number one reason to get a 8-quart instead of a 6-quart, because my 6-quart, my pan doesn't fit in there.
Right.
Or I have to go buy a new pan.
I would say too, I feel like when you're doing pot in pot cooking, you're more of an advanced Instant Potter.
Yeah, I would say the learning curve that starts with your Instant Pot that you really have to accept that you're going to need to go through. It will lead you to pot in pot, but I wouldn't start with pot in pot.
No, you posted it's in our Facebook group too, the 20 recipes to start with.
The 7 to start with.
Seven
to start with, making it easy. Which is eggs, chicken, broth, pork,
meat
stuff.
What the
sous vide is,
just to go back to it, is it's like, if you can imagine a hand blender, kind of what that looks like. It's a stick, it's a wand.
Yeah.
And then it attaches to the side of an apparatus, whether it's a bowl. Some people use plastic because that conducts heat better. And the idea is it's sucking water in and drawing water out, and it's always at the same temperature. So you're cooking food in a plastic bag, and you're able to control the temperature from the beginning of the cooking time to the end of the cooking time.
Yep. And it's constant. That's the thing, is that most of them are, it's just a constant.
Yep. So when you wonder, like, okay, why would I use this, or what kind of things would I cook in it?
Yeah.
They say the recipes to cook first in an Instant Pot are steaks, because you can control the temperature throughout.
Yeah.
Chicken breasts, they say that they're so tender because no juice is lost in the cooking process, because it's not poaching in a liquid. It's in its own juice, in its own bag.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs, carrots, because again, you're not losing any of the water in the cooking process. Double cut pork chops, pulled pork shoulder that you can do for like 18 to 24 hours. And again, the heat is constant the entire time. And lobster. They talk about creating successful ways to do this, like getting water, using a zip top bags, food in zipper top bags, a sous vide bag submerged with a binder clip, because part of the things that people have trouble with is keeping the bag submerged.
Submerged, yeah.
So they have a technique with a spoon and a binder clip. So I posted this on our Facebook page, and also it will be on our show page, just how to get started with the sous vide.
Oh, good.
The thing about the sous vide that I guess I really realized today, that would be the number one reason I would never do it. You have to then brown your stuff.
Yeah. You don't get any sear whatsoever.
No. And that was when we had the sous vide steak that Miles made at his farm.
Yeah.
The temperature of the steak was perfect. Like, it was a perfect medium rare.
Yeah.
But it was kind of gray.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then he went to sear it, and you just didn't have that same
caramelization.
Beautiful sear.
Yeah.
But I think, like, a lot of restaurants are sous-viding food, and that's obvious because they can hold chicken breasts that are moist and delicious at a certain temperature and then finish it and then garnish it, and it's going to be a quicker process. It's going to be a more controlled process. So I get why chefs like sous-vide. For the home cook, though, I just feel like I would never do this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a way to incorporate it, and as just the same thing with the Instant Pot, there'd be instances. The difference, I think, that with the Instant Pot is that it's something you're also using as a speed technique, you know, something that's sort of like a saver of your time and energies.
Yes.
And everything else. Your hands are free and all this kind of stuff.
They talked about it being hands-free cooking, for
yeah,
sure.
And I do think that that's the same thing with the sous vide. It's hands-free. It's just that it's a longer, it's a little bit more intensive, I guess, and it's a little bit more careful. It's a different sort of thing.
651-641-1071. I'm throwing the phone number out.
I'm interested in it.
Yeah,
I think guys like it more than women.
Well, let's talk about that, because we'll take your calls. We're going to take them in the Ask Stephanie portion of the show that happens at the 40 break. So if you want to call us then, or you can just call and hope we'll put you on hold for a while. 651-641-1071 if you have a sous vide. Now, I'm going to move gears for a second to another gadget that a lot of people got for Christmas, in addition to the Instant Pot.
Yep.
Which is the air fryer.
This is the topic du jour. That has been on the wind this Christmas.
So somebody sent in a email and said, hey, you talk about the Instant Pot all the time. I got an air fryer. Have you ever used one, and do you like it? And then I had lunch with Mecca Boss, and she was talking about her love of the air fryer. So I researched, like, what is this air fryer? And so what it is it's, again, another gadget. It's generally about $200. Everything seems to be about $200 for whatever reason, because the sous vide is about the same. And it is something that blows air like a convection, okay, in a controlled environment again. So you're not frying in oil, you're air frying, as it were, which is to say you're not frying at all.
Yeah.
You're baking with hot air.
Okay.
So what people like about this is they can make fried things without oil. But to be clear, they're not really fried.
They're not really fried.
They're almost roasted.
Yeah.
Because it's just a hot stream of convection,
like
air
super,
that's circulating
super hot
around it.
Stream of air?
Yes. So things like,
it would have to be.
If you're thinking about what would be good in an air fryer, it is things that are fried, like vegetables work really well, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So
can you do chicken?
You can do chicken.
Because that would be the only reason that I would do it is to get fried chicken.
So let me give you the pros and the cons, okay?
Okay.
So the pros are that you get the crispiness of deep frying without all the oil, and things are definitely crispier than baking, okay?
Yeah, than baking.
The vegetables cook fast, 15 to 20 minutes. Someone said they can do asparagus in 5 minutes. Cleanup is easy. It's a way to kind of get kids more excited about vegetables because they get sort of caramelized and sweet,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need a recipe. Here's the cons of air frying, okay?
Okay.
Things are just better deep fried. You're not going to get traditional fried chicken from an air fryer. In fact, you're probably not even going to get close. You also can't overcrowd the air fryer, so it's not good for like large batch cooking. So for meats, you really only can do one layer to get the most golden result. So you're probably not going to use this for cooking for more than a couple people.
Yeah.
They could do 4 drumstick or 5 chicken tenders at a time. You want to flip and stir whatever you're frying every few minutes.
What?
Yes. So again, this isn't like a set it in there and then walk away. You have to come back to it, which again would be another reason why I wouldn't do it. And it's $200. They say that like fried foods like tater tots and chicken wings, things that you buy in the freezer section that are already pre-done,
yeah,
come out great.
Okay, so this is, I was just looking on BuzzFeed and apparently this girl was like, these chicken strips come out great fried. These dumplings are great fried, these frozen things. And I'm like, well, they're already fried.
That's right.
So
I feel like in this, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being this is amazing, 10 being horrible, this is a 2 for me. No, this is, I'm reversing my scale.
Yeah.
It is a 2.
Okay.
It is a 2 because if it gets you to eat more vegetables, I have a convection oven that does this amazing. If you want to invest in, get an oven with convection, your life will be amazing. I love mine so much.
Well, I used to have a convection oven and I used it a little bit, but the one that I have now, I still just blast. I do like my cauliflower before I make cauliflower soup. I coat it in olive oil, salt and pepper, toss it around and put it on a sheet pan, put it in at 500 and it blasts it and you get the crispy kind of edges. It doesn't get fried in that crisp sense, but nothing will unless you baste it, unless you oil fry.
Right. That's right.
So, but I mean, it gets that crispness that it seems like that's the same thing this is doing.
I mean, and if you're into gadgets, like, great, load them up.
Right, right.
I just, for me.
If you're buying fried foods and then you're putting them in a little fryer.
Fry them without the oil.
We eat chicken fingers all the time out of the oven. And if you put a little cooking spray on your sheet pan, it's pretty good.
Okay, that's a good tip.
You put a little cooking spray in your sheet pan, and then you put it on there, and then you flip them. You know, and sometimes if you heat your oven up with your sheet pan in there, pull it out, then add the cooking spray, and then put your chips, or then put your fry, or I'm sorry, your chicken pieces
are
frozen. On there. Yeah, and get the all-natural Purdue ones. Those are great. Stick them in, and then flip them halfway through. They're crisp. They're crisp.
Good tips from Stephanie March.
I'm not against
chicken finger,
a good chicken finger fry, right? I do make my own, but I don't know about, I don't know. I don't know if I would, I know for sure that I would never buy a fryer.
Well, I'll throw it out. If you have an air fryer, again, we'll take your calls in the Ask Stephanie portion of the show at about 940-651-641-1071. If you want to extol the virtues of the air fryer. Again, I feel like men would like this.
This is right. I wonder about
not
that
to
too.
Be sexist. But
I know, isn't that
maybe
seems...
some men will call in.
Yeah, and yell at us.
Yes, and men, we're about to do a Super Bowl segment to talk about where you can eat your Super Bowl live food. So that's all good. We're gonna go ahead. We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna be back. You're listening to The Weekly Dish. With support from Red Cow and Red Rabbit. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to Weekly Dish. This is Stephanie March, by the way. I'm sitting here with
Stephanie Hansen.
I think we may not have said that
who
in
we
the beginning
are.
In case anyone didn't know who we were.
We are just the Stephanies for the most part.
Someone has sent us a Facebook post that says today is National Stephanie Day.
For real?
For real. Well, I don't know. It says it on the Facebooks. And so if
that
it's on
makes
the Facebooks,
it real.
It's real.
So Stephanie Meyer, high
Stephanie
five.
Meyer, Stephanie Schimpf,
high five.
Stephanie Seward,
high
Stephanie
five.
Schmidt.
High five.
High fives. Hey, girl. It's Stephanie Day.
So, I like this day.
I know. I just found that. I just saw that. I was like, I like that.
I can't wait to tell my husband. Guess what, sir?
Guess what? It's my day. So we're talking about Super Bowl because it is crazily on everybody's mind. Everybody, of course, is hoping that the Vikings go. But if they don't go, which they will, then the Super Bowl is still here. So no matter what, we're going to be stuck in Super Bowl fever for the next month.
And I think next week we still have time to talk about Super Bowl snacking,
yeah,
right?
We're not going to do it this week because this week we're going to kind of really, really hope. In fact, let's talk before we get to Super Bowl. Let's talk about where you can watch this Sunday's game, because I believe that
I'm a little concerned because I'm going to be in Denver.
Why?
Because we're traveling and we're getting into the mountains on Sunday. They're expecting snow. So I'm like, Kurt,
you're going to have to figure out. Do you have Wi-Fi up there?
I don't. Yes, we do. But then they make it like the NFL blocks all this stuff. So I'm nervous that I'm not going to be able to get it.
Oof.
But here's my plan.
Wait, do you have DirecTV?
No, okay. We're staying in our cousin's condo.
No. And do you have DirecTV? Do you pay for DirecTV at home?
No, okay. I have Comcast.
Oh.
But maybe on my, I don't know.
Because I can watch DirecTV. This is not an ad for DirecTV, but I can watch it on any of my stuff. Like,
well, and I think worst case scenario, we can Facebook Live with my daughter, who can just hold it up to the TV.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I'm not above that.
No, you're not.
So,
okay, so you will have access. Those of us who are staying local, there are other places besides the mountaintop where you can watch this weekend's game. And I do feel like if you are normally a homebound person, if you're normally like, I watch the game quietly in my room, you know, with my intensity like Casey, I think there's a chance at this time to get out with the tribe and really celebrate and scream at some screens.
And skull!
Yeah, do the skull!
Skull!
I think that this is an opportunity you might not want to miss. So I'm going to give you a couple places you can go. First, letting you know, Mortimer's, perfect dive bar.
Mortimer's on Lindale.
On Lindale in Uptown. I'm going to tell you this. You know, they were bought recently.
By the Nightingale people.
Exactly. And they have put money into the space. They have installed an 11-foot screen. And they have redone the sound system. And so it is all new and ready for you to scream at. They got Heggie's Pizza. They got lots of beers. It's going to be great.
All right.
So that's one place if you want to take it up a little notch. Stella's is going to do happy hour all day long. Broadcast the game and have half price oysters all day.
Oh.
That's going to be a scene. I'm just telling you right now, that's going to be a scene. And there's going to be plenty of drinking.
This could be a good place for the men and the women to go that are coupled up, where the women don't really want to watch the game so they can hang out.
Well, there's plenty of women who want to watch the game.
Well, I'm not trying to be. We've got a sexist show here, friend.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying, if you just want to hang out and talk to your gal pals, that might be a great place
to go. That's a good idea. There's also, I would tell you about New Hope Cinema Grill, which is one of my favorite places to go because you can watch movies and have Furious, Surly Furious. They are opening up 2 hours before game time. So I think game time's at 5:40 or something. So I think, you know, around three. They will open up it's free to go. So they've got all of their movie screens playing the game, from what I understand, huge screens. And then it's just basically a restaurant. So you can go and sit down and they've got tables and booths and all this kind of stuff that you can watch the game from. So
fun.
And that's free, and they've got a lot of great stuff. And finally, I will tell you, if you want to go with your kids somewhere, Hy-Vee, all of the market grills in Hy-Vee are doing, they're broadcasting the game, and they are they're doing a $10 unlimited chicken wing bar. You pay 10 bucks, you can step up to that chicken wing bar as many times as you want. And they have $2 craft beers, $2 taps, I should say. I don't know if it's craft beer or not. So that's like, and that's a place where like you could go and watch the game and be with people and your kids could run around and all that kind of stuff too.
We need to, I think, do a segment in a show coming up about eating in grocery stores because it's becoming real popular. And I had the best conversation with this woman at Whole Foods the other day about it.
Well, it swung back. You know what I mean? Like the idea that there used to be restaurants and all the Byerly's and they were like really good restaurants.
Yes. Good like diners.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and open 24 hours.
Yeah. Plenty of interesting things.
Hy-Vee Market Grill.
Yeah.
I love
the Hy-Vee Market Grill. So that's that. So that if you want to go. Also, I know that Du Nord Distillery is showing the game and having drinks. And I know that if you go to the Poorhouse, there's a free shot for everyone every time the Vikings score.
Well, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Randall's on Nicollet Mall.
Oh, yeah.
John Randall's affiliated spot.
Yeah.
They've got huge TVs there and lots of levels and outdoors.
Yep. I would even say Lou Nanny's out in Edina. I'm sure that they're showing the game. You know, that's a good spot, too.
I think they've changed the name of it.
It's called Tavern 23. Sorry.
Yes.
It is Lou Nanny's spot, but it's Tavern 23. You're
yes.
correct. I did have lunch with him. He's lovely.
You know, I've been meaning to ask you about that, too.
We'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
But that's what I just want to get you guys set up for this weekend. If you want to go out and you want to cheer them on, do it that way. Now, if you're thinking about the Super Bowl itself coming to town. If you have been downtown, I don't know if you've been down to the Nicollet Mall. I work down there.
Me too. I'm at 11th and Harmon, and every time I pass, I see that Birkebeiner Bridge getting more and more, and the PV Plaza is getting built out. Mm-hmm. There is supposedly a Janet Jackson sighting last week.
Yes.
Two times.
Yes.
I think she's in town.
I think she is too. Well, she and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are buds.
Well, so where is she gonna? She was apparently, and I have this on authority from a MyTalk listener who would know. He said that she was like assessing the stage on Nicollet Mall. So does that mean she's gonna like play?
Well, they did release all the acts.
I saw it, and she's not on it.
She's not on it, but they, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, there is a Prince tribute night on the 29th, January 29th, on that Monday, my birthday, appropriately, me and Prince.
We're doing something that night. Oh,
we're going to the Great Northern.
Hooray.
Yes, I know. So we will be eating big meats.
In St. Paul.
Maybe we can drive by and listen, you know, park somewhere like in my parking ramp, which is going up way in cost. Anyway, bygones. There's the whole mall, Nicollet Mall, is being made into Super Bowl Live, which has got the stage, the Birkebeiner. There's going to be, Schwann's has like food truck stacking.
Four levels.
Yeah, it's just a crazy cool thing. There's going to be a lot of food there, you guys. And I just wanted to tip you out on some of the things because it's free to go. And you have to get in. There's an entrance. And then you can walk around with your booze, is my point. It's pretty good. So food trucks, there's Butcher Salt, Chef Shack is going to be there. They're going to have bacon bratwurst, pulled pork sandwiches, smoky beefy nachos. Hello.
Smoky
Gastro
beefy.
Truck. You will love those guys, don't you?
Yep. And I love that Butcher Salt too.
Yeah, Butcher Salt is going to do sliders, loaded fries. Hot Indians Foods is going to be there. They're doing samosas, rice bowls, the indie frites that I love so much. They're also going to have soup and hot chai, you know, because it's going to be chills. Oh. I love the K-Town Street Foods. They're going to do bulgogi taco bowl. They're a little bit of Korean crazy fusion stuff. They're going to do kimchi fries. Their kimchi fries are outstanding.
So is our Stewart's in St. Paul, just incidentally, if you're interested in kimchi fries and you need to sit down and not be at a food truck, go there.
Oh, good. Okay, so Market Barbecue is going to be doing chopped brisket. We've got the empanada trucks are going to be there. You're going to be finding Pimento Jamaican Kitchen, which is awesome.
They have really great smoked meats.
Jerk pork, coconut rice and beans, all that kind of stuff. The Moral Omnivore, who I love. I hate their name, but I love the truck. Deep fried pork belly rice bowl. They're doing vegetarian beet rice bowls. There's a lot of great bowls. And all that kind of stuff. So those are going to be those are the trucks that we all know and love. Then in addition, around the area, you're going to be able to find, there's a French fry stand. So they're doing beer cheese French fries, beef and bean chili fries,
yum,
all that kind of stuff. There's a waffle stand, the Nordic Waffles, waffle dog, all day breakfast waffle, cinnamon sugar butter waffle.
Waffles are going to be really great. They're coming to my Stone Arch Festival thing that I'm producing.
Oh, good.
And those little waffle sandwiches look delicious.
Slammin' salmon waffle. I'm having that. And then the Nordhaus Foods guys are doing a brat. They're doing pancake. They're doing Abelskivers.
Yes. Abelskivers.
And they're doing salty bacon Abelskivers and then sweet cinnamon apple.
Yum.
I love the salty Abelskivers and I feel like nobody does it. They're also doing a huge Bavarian pretzel, which I'm psyched about. And then there's a carvery where you can get like thick cut roast turkey sandwiches. There's a pierogi place. T-Rex is doing their cookies.
Yep,
so you're going to be able to find them.
From Tina.
Now here's fun. The Delta Grill is going to be there. And what they're doing is Delta Airlines has fashioned a grill out of an airplane wing.
I thought that was pretty cute.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And they're going to have a bunch of sausages, like red pepper chicken sausage, spinach feta sausage, andouille, all the kind of good sausages. And then they're going to do Juicy Lucy's. And they've got a ton of Juicy Lucy's, like the classic. And then they've got like a bacon and blue one. And they've got all sorts of crazy things. So, and then, of course, there's bar stands, just to let you know, you can get all sorts of cool cocktails, like, you know, the bold fashioned. Nart, nart, nart. Someone with the naming on this one has got a little explaining to do. The Nordic Mule instead of the Moscow Mule. It's kind of cute. Anyway.
I like it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. And I'm just saying that when you get down there, there's going to be a lot of great things to see. And you're going to be well-fed if you want to be.
All right.
There we go.
And everyone, we hope that you come out, right?
Yep.
It's just fun.
And we'll do more Super Bowl. Are you not going to be here for the actual Super Bowl
No,
Saturday
I'm going to be here. I come back on Friday.
On the 3rd, though?
Yeah, I'm going to be here.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Great. Then we'll do a whole Super Bowl show
we'll
that
keep,
day.
And I can tell you that beginning next Friday, my husband and I are going 10 days. We're going to try to do something different every day.
Oh, good.
And today, we're actually starting. We're going to go to the Art Shanties.
Oh, good.
Project on
Lake
Harriet.
I'm doing that next weekend.
Yeah. You guys, it's just a great time to get out and experience your city. So we're both like, we're going to force ourselves to go out and do stuff. So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. So if you wanted to call and weigh in on any Super Bowl questions, or if you want to talk about your sous vide or your air fryer or your Instant Pot, 651. Excuse me. I was just about to give my home phone number over the radio. 651-641-1071. So give us a call and we'll take your questions live on air, or you can tweet us at Steph March, at Stephanie's Dish, or of course on our show pages or on the Facebooks. We gotcha. Give us a call. We are back and you are listening to The Weekly Dish on My Talk 1071, Everything Entertainment. Thanks for being here. We are in the Ask Stephanie portion of the show where you can call in and ask us anything you would like. 651-641-1071. We would love the opportunity to share our answers to your questions. So here is a question that came in on Facebook. And call in, 651-641-1071. Hope we'll get you and we'll take your call live. It says, happy Saturday. I know you've recommended, this is from Heidi, Lolo in Stillwater on several occasions. And I finally made it there for lunch this week. My goodness, my friend and I shared the hanger steak rice bowl. The fish tacos and the rosemary frites were perfection. Their cocktails were also delightful. The Nicolet and the Bohemian Rhapsody were our favorites. Keep on keeping on. We love that.
Nice.
Oh, and then she gave us a review, a 5-star review for the Weekly Dish.
We
she
love
said
that.
They are fun, hilarious, and give great tips and hot spot advice. I listen every Saturday. Oh, that's so nice.
That is good.
Yes.
And also, I just want people to know that my phone has sort of blown up. Yesterday, I lost all my data. So if you sent me text questions or if you sent, I can't access any of that right now. So
651-641-1071 at Stephanie's Dish. We'll get you taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah. Or send it on the Facebooks, like we said, or the tweets on Stephanie's Dish, at Stephanie's Dish, ask Steph March. Just a little quick note, by the way, I'm just going to mention that. Sad moment. Let's pour one out for Mr. Paul Bocuse, who, of course, was the 90-year-old just culinary sort of god, really, to like the upper crust set, you know, who the Bocuse d'Or and all the stuff. He's sort of this icon of French cooking, and he's unfortunately passed away. So just wanted to say pour one out for him.
Yeah, to be not to be remiss and not to miss.
Yeah.
All right. So 651-641-1071. There are some questions that have come in over the course of the week. I know you've mentioned two Instant Pot cookbooks you like about a million times on the show. My friends just got one and I'd like to get her the book you recommend. Please let me know so I don't need to search through all the podcasts. Melissa Clark from the New York Times has the
Dinner in an Instant.
Dinner in an Instant. And you know the name of the other one.
No, I don't right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll pin that tweet. Maybe I'll put a post.
Oh, I know what
up.
It is. It's Nom Nom Paleo.
That was a different one. That
she has a lot of Instant Pot recipes,
yes.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was a different one that we'd been talking about before, but I can't remember. But what I'll do is I'll try to put up a little post on the Weekly Dish Instant Potters
and pin
page
it.
And pin it to the top.
Yeah, because we do get that question a lot, yeah. And it's a good question. Lindsay is on the line. Hi, Lindsay. How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What's your question for us?
Yeah, I'm at a book club with a bunch of young moms, and we're always looking for someplace fun to go out. We go out on Friday nights after bedtime.
But
amen. Where we can still have a conversation and sit at a table for a little while. But
how many are there?
Cool. There's about 5 of us usually.
Oh, that's not too many.
Yeah.
Have you been to the tap room?
No.
That has the fireplace. I want to say, is it Denord? No.
<I don't know. laughs>
Yes, it is Denord.
The cocktail room?
Yes.
At the distillery?
Yes.
Okay.
And they have a fireplace that's really lovely, and they have a lot of different seating arrangements there. So they have booths, they have tables, you can stand.
I think you're thinking Norseman.
Thank you. That is what
Norseman
I'm thinking.
Norseman Distillery up here in Northeast across from the Eversharp Knife.
Perfect.
Shop.
That's exactly what I'm thinking,
okay.
Stephanie March.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun.
This is for a book club. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
yep.
is a place called Book Club in South Minneapolis, and it's a new little restaurant. It took over the place where Cafe Mod used to be on 54th and Penn. And they have.
Oh, my God, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, and they have a booth. They have a big round booth you can book. I think if you told them it was for a book club, they would lose their mind how great that is. So that would be fun.
Awesome. Great ideas. Thank
All right.
You.
Thank you, Heather. Or that was Lindsay. We have Heather on the line now, and she has a question for us for the Instant Pot, 651-641-1071. Hi, Heather.
Hi. Okay, so I right when I switched my audio over to not be blasting in my car, I heard someone else say Instant Pot, so hopefully I'm not repeating a question.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I got one for Christmas, and I've only mustered up the courage to make rice so far. And so I'm wondering what you would recommend for someone who's a little, well, a major novice as a first, like, good recipe.
So we have two. If you haven't made hard-boiled eggs, do you eat hard-boiled eggs ever?
I ate one about 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
See? You're so good. So you can make hard-boiled eggs so easily and quickly that that's okay. Really one of those things you can do, like, 18 of them in, like, 4 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on how you want them done.
Okay.
So that's always one I kind of recommend to kind of get used to the buttons and the feel of it all. And then the second one is we always talk about doing a pork shoulder, which they were BOGO, buy one, get one at Lund's, Byerly's, I believe. That might still be going on, but you can easily do one. I did one the other night, and it took 55 minutes for a 3.5-pound pork shoulder.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So and don't be afraid of a chicken, too. We've both done a whole roast chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you do frozen chicken by chance?
Yes. You can. Yep, it'll take a little bit longer, but it still works.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. In fact, when you go to the Weekly Dish Instant Potters, look up, we put a post up there called the 7 foods you should first do in the Instant Pot.
Perfect.
I'll repost it on the show page, too, so you'll find it on the Weekly Dish show page. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Thanks, Heather, for the questions. We will be right back. You're listening to the Weekly Dish, presented by our friends at Red Cow and Red Rabbit on Washington. If you're looking for great tap beers, they have a whole list for you of tap.